to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 31st, 2017, by the Reverend Sharon Volker.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. As little children, we learn the story of the birth of Jesus, of Mary and Joseph not being able to find a place to stay in Bethlehem, of Jesus being laid in a manger after his birth, of the beckoning star, of shepherds and wise men. That story does not change. Through the centuries since that momentous occasion, we have perpetuated the story through reenactments, through songs, and with special prayers and devotions. Christmas and Easter are the foundations of our Christian belief. Is one event more important or more significant than the other? No, not at all. They mark the beginning and the end of the earthly life of God's Son, the Word of God that became flesh. Our Christmas story tells us that Jesus entered human life in a humble manner, not born of wealthy or powerful parents, but of ordinary people, just like us. Scripture doesn't tell us where Jesus was born or who was there. Scripture doesn't recite for us the things that were common practices or ordinary or unremarkable things. So, knowing the hospitality of the Jewish people, I believe it would have been expected that Joseph and Mary would be taken in by a Jewish household during the frantically busy time in the city when the census was being taken. They wouldn't be allowed to be homeless, especially at the time when Mary was about to deliver her baby. We are told there was no room for them at the inn. And even if there was not a private room available in a home, Joseph and Mary would have been offered whatever accommodations were available in the house. The women of the household would have attended to Mary and comforted her. And since Mary had no cradle for her new baby, the manger of the householder's animals was repurposed and filled with fresh straw to make a bed for the sleeping infant. My interpretation of the birth of Jesus is not that he was born lonely in a cold, dark corner of Bethlehem because his parents were callously rejected. On the contrary, I think Jesus was welcomed into our world, surrounded by loving and caring people. That is the Jewish way. But the point here is not the logistics, the how or the where of the birth of Jesus. It is simply the birth of Jesus. Jesus, that part of God that became human, that part of God that was one of us, the man who shared our emotions, the man who experienced physical pain, Jesus, the teacher who still inspires us, the teacher who never gave up on his pupils, Jesus, the Son who was devoted to showing us the way to the Father, Jesus, divine, yet human. How do we explain this? Well, we don't. Just as we don't presume to explain any of the miracles that God has performed. Faith needs no physical explanations. Faith is believing without seeing. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is particularly at Christmas that we thank God for the love he has shown us through the gift of his Son. What greater gift than the gift of love could God possibly give us? Love in the person of Jesus. Love as shown through the example of Jesus. And the love that we have learned to give to others. And because of God's love for us, we have been given another gift, God's promise of eternal life. Well, according to the calendar, Christmas is over. Some of us have already taken down the tree and put away the festive decorations, and some of us will wait until later to do that. Sometimes, procrastination can help us recuperate from a hectic holiday season. But if we listened closely to our service music this morning, we sang Christmas carols. So what's really going on? Well, Christmas is not done yet. Christmas is with us for a few more days until Epiphany, which happens to be Saturday. Good old Charlie Brown from Charles Schulz's comic strip Peanuts had some serious thoughts about Christmas when he said, "I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. I just don't understand it. Instead of feeling happy, I feel sort of let down." And then sweet Linus, the blanket-dependent child of the neighborhood, recites the birth story of Jesus from Luke. And he says, "That's what it's all about, Charlie Brown." Yes, Charlie Brown, that is what it's all about. It's not about the presents under the tree or the parties or the decorated streets and homes. It's about the promise of hope that was born in a stable and became our salvation. It's about the greatest gift that could ever be given to us. The poet W.H. Auden captured the after-Christmas feeling very well. Near the end of his very long poem, For the Time Being, he wrote, "Well, so that is that. Now we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back into their cardboard boxes. Some have got broken, and carrying them up to the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down and burnt, and the children got ready for school. There are enough leftovers to do, warmed up, for the rest of the week. Not that we have much appetite, having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, and attempted, quite unsuccessfully, to love all our relatives, and in general, grossly overestimated our powers." Auden's poem is a Christmas poem written for the dark midwinter, post-Christmas malaise. The excitement of the holiday is past, and now we get back to our daily lives, made all the more dull by the brief holiday. In lives full of work, going to school, and everything else in between. It would seem impossible to redeem everyday time from insignificance. Yet that is just what Scripture tells us is the good news of the birth of Jesus. The good news is that all time is redeemable. Nothing has to be insignificant. It will always be far easier to confine Jesus to holidays and perhaps Sunday mornings. It will always be far more difficult to invite the light of Christ into every area of our life. The celebration is over. As Auden writes, now we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back in their cardboard boxes. But the light of Christ was not meant to be tucked back in the attic with the decorations. The love of God as it shines through Jesus was meant to take root in our souls, and it still can if we make room in our everyday life for light to shine in our darkness. To answer an earlier question, my friends, Christmas is never done. True Christmas, the celebration of the earthly arrival of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, should be in our minds and in our hearts every day. True Christmas gives us strength and hope to persevere when we face difficulties or when times are troubled. True Christmas brings us joy through the gift of eternal life, the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Christmas season is a time when our hearts are softened and we become very generous with our time for helping others. When we give more freely of our money, when we intentionally greet others with love and caring. Let us live every day with the spirit of Christmas and with hope for the future, all in our hearts. Let us live in love for all our brothers and sisters and walk in peace and joy all our lives. Amen.